We're the Night Shift Bandits. Join us and our sister podcast, Perspective Discussions, where they talk about love, life, and relationships on any platform that you can find podcasts. Also, like, comment, share, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We also have a Twitch channel, and you can donate to us on our GoFundMe and Patreon, where you can help us bring you better content. Our link tree is down in the description. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, hey, what's good, everybody? It's me here, Professor Zach.
Master Anna Thomas, welcome. And Merry Christmas.
Yep, Merry Christmas. Hopefully you all will have a violent night. Potentially a violent night. But, you know, we're going to go ahead and review the movie Violent Night, which is a Christmas action movie. Like the most badass picture you've ever seen. Like, at least one of them.
Yeah, yeah, I would say it was more like a Christmas action comedy.
I mean, still. I mean, action movies are hilarious at this point. I mean, have you seen The Fast and the Furious? Look at them.
I have not seen any Fast and the Furious other than Tokyo Drift.
And that's the lame one compared to the others.
Yeah. That's what I keep getting told too. And I'm just like, well, that's the only one that was ever like in front of me. And I was like, fine, I'll watch it. Everything else was just like, nah, I'm not going to sit down and watch this by myself.
But yeah, we're not here to talk about Fast and Furious and their space shenanigans. We're here to talk about the most violent night on Earth.
Well, I mean, we're talking about Santa Claus. Kris Kringle, Saint Nick. What else did he call him?
A lot of other names in other languages.
Yeah.
Jolly old Saint Nick.
So that guy. I do like that the character Santa Claus. Well, yeah, he's kind of a down on his luck type of guy. Well, not even down on his luck. He's just kind of done with everything. Doesn't see the point in doing the whole Santa thing anymore.
Yeah, like his naughty list gets longer and longer every year, as he stated. And of course, you know, because humanity being humanity, you know, like you kind of start to lose your hope in why you try to make the world a better place. But what can fix that? But what can fix that?
Present.
Little girl? Oh. I was going to say a little girl, some blood, and a big old hammer.
Well, I mean, it was also an ice sculpture. Something that, a string of lights. Something so, oh no, that wasn't a string of lights. It was the star or the top of the tree.
I wasn't trying to name the ways he killed people yet, but okay.
No, that was one of the ways that he killed people, that someone died in that movie.
I was just saying, like, yeah, the girl, the blood, and the killing is how this thing, is how you fit. It's how you get more hope in the world.
Okay. I mean, that could be you get more hope in the world, but that's probably the only way, given how this movie went. But we can get into that later.
Yeah, we'll get into that later, because yeah, like the I got something to say about that that star on top of the tree.
Yeah, I just really wanted to give them a taste of what's to come.
Yeah, no, it's cool, but that Of course, our movie starts off with like the most. Well, how can I say this? They're a well-to-do family. They're a very rich family, and of course, they got rich people issues. And
oh yes,
the family are douchebags.
I want to say, everyone in the family that's related to the matriarch. Douchebags. Except for the one guy.
Which one guy? My favorite kid.
That's her oldest son, right?
The actual douchebag. The one who's like, yeah, you know, I fought zombies. I fought White Walkers at the top of Mount Everest, you know. It's pretty easy.
Okay. You're talking about the discount Johnny Cage.
Yes. It's Johnny Cage. If you raised up Johnny Cage's personality, like if you made him more douchey and less funny.
Yes. That's all I saw was he was trying to just be Johnny Cage without the martial arts training.
Yeah. And his name was... He has like the most Johnny Cage name. His name is Morgan Steele.
That's right. And that made me think of like an old show. You remember Max Steele? I don't know if you do. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Max Steele.
Yeah.
I'm really familiar.
Okay. Yeah, so his name reminded me of Max Steele. And I was like, he's not that cool. There's no way he's that cool.
No, he's not.
Yeah, but the main character. Well, who do we even say is the main character other than Sansa?
I mean, I would say Sansa.
On the cast.
I mean, it is. I would say definitely Sansa and the girl, the little girl.
I can see that.
Yeah. I would say, because those, we do spend a lot of time with those. Isn't her name Trudy or something? If I remember correctly.
Gertrude, yes. She was named after her grandmother.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, like, she, I would say those two are the ones that you spend the most time with. They actually push the plot forward a lot of the time, you know? Like Trudy's like it's like Sansa's autocon in a sense.
Yeah. She is in the chair.
Yeah, so she's literally like I wouldn't say the techie, but like it's Overwatch.
Yes. I would definitely agree. And I do like that they gave inspiration to Trudy's character and what she was going to do at the beginning of the movie. And it started out so very innocent. With her just, you know, telling her, hey, yeah, you know, I just watched Home Alone and started, you know, imitating Macaulay Culkin. Okay, cool. Yeah, that's a cute kid thing. Then what happens later is like, oh my God, I like you. You got a good hit. But other characters. Okay, so we have... You said something about the douchey sister, right?
No, I didn't say anything about the douchey sister. I was talking about Morgan Steele.
Yeah, that's who Gertrude's or Trudy's aunt is, I guess, dating. So, and she is just... not a much better human being at all, either.
Yeah, I mean,
you can tell that. Because...
Yeah, like that all assholes.
Yeah, like every single one of them, and it's very apparent when you first meet every single one of them, except the oldest son, which is Trudy's dad.
Yeah, you got his name is Jason, and then he's married to Linda. Because the thing
for her married, we know that they're not together, but they were at one point. We don't know if it was like they didn't actually say if it was a divorce or not, did they?
No, I thought they were married because they were trying to leave together because Gertrude is like a matriarch that puts her children under her thumb. Like literally, like those two were like the different out of the whole family. They were actually pretty nice. They're actually decent people. So I thought they were married. Were they not?
No, I don't think that they ever stated if they were married or not. They just said that they were no longer together. And that was Jason and Linda. And we just have no idea. Yeah. I'm thinking that they were married at one point, but
they're estranged.
Maybe they're just separated. Regardless.
Mm-hmm.
That's their situation. They're not together. And then he's trying to get them back together.
Yeah, okay. You want to know what'll fix that?
Not Gertrude.
No. Blood and guns. And
money can fix
that. I mean, they have enough money. Like, once they're that rich, can money really fix all your problems?
No, it's more like a hindrance at some point. Because you're just like, oh, money will fix this. And then it doesn't. And you're just like, well, what else am I supposed to do?
But of course, like, we right into the movie once we get all the setup. Because, again, action movies, it's paper thin plot. We just need an excuse for a bunch of guys to come in with guns and for Sandy Claus to come in and kick some ass, right?
Yeah. So let's give the reason for them going ahead and wanting to kidnap the family or harass the family, the bad guys, which is led by John Leguizamo. I had no idea he was even in the movie.
Oh yeah. Like, he's definitely like the head of like the bad guys, the evil peeps. Well, I can't seriously any semi or serious role because I see John Leguizamo, which I see him in mostly like funny roles and comedy roles.
I definitely understand that. There's a lot of his... Oh, well, the role that I mostly remember him from is his one-man shows. Because those were very hilarious shows, but they did have, you know, serious parts. He did go through his entire repartee of acting tricks while doing those shows. And it really does give us a glance at what he can really do. For some reason, he just has to go towards comedy. Which he's not that good at, but he does it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, he's played some serious roles, right? But
he's played.
Yeah, so it's like he can definitely do it. He can definitely go back and forth. It's just that for me personally, whenever he's serious, I'm like, you're a funny guy, you know. Even in like The Menu, like his character wasn't like super serious to me. Now it's right. Tragic what happened, but it wasn't like super serious to me.
Right. Yeah, his didn't really, in The Menu, it wasn't really like, okay, you're a big person. He was essentially just another side character. Just so happened to be there, just so happened to have similar tendencies of everyone else who's there. And he just made the list.
Yeah, so.
That's what it felt like. And in here, it kind of felt like he was just like, well, his reasoning for doing all this was so very thin. As you stated before, it's an action movie.
Yeah.
He just like, oh yeah, I hate Christmas. Why? Something bad happened during Christmas.
Yeah.
What was it? Things and stuff.
Yeah. Like literally he had like a whole story about the reason why he hate Christmas.
That whole story was kind of just like, to me, it wasn't enough. It was like, dude, you're reaching now. Why didn't you just get over it?
Yeah, like it's just, yeah, that happened that time as a kid. You know, I get it. Like, childhood trauma stick with us today, but you could tell it was like just an excuse to get things started. But again, action movie. I'm not expecting Citizen Kane. But.
No, I don't. The only time that I expect Citizen Kane work out of an action movie is if it's in a video game.
Yeah, I don't even expect it there. I really don't.
Yeah, true. It's probably going to just end up being Tekken anyway.
I mean, I don't mind that at all. Like,
no, I mean, that's a great.
Oh yeah, like I don't like No More Heroes. Like I love that story, but that story does not make a lot of sense, and it's a lot of things that it's paper thin. I don't care. I just want to see blood and violence.
Good. Yeah. And okay, speaking on No More Heroes, real quick, and that story. I honestly have zero reason why Fu and Damon were friends. No reason at all that they were friends. It just happened. Actually, people, if you don't know what we're talking about, Zach played through No More Heroes 3. Go watch it.
Yep. Go watch it on our YouTube channel, The Night Shift Bandits. Why those two were friends, it was mostly because it was the E.T. thing. It was literally just E.T. Elliot, and Fu, because Fu did do like a little, did do something to Damon, which I think made a connection between the two. So they kind of sort of did it on top of the E.T. thing. Because it was E.T. all the way down to like the FBI agents trying to capture Fu. But they were too late because Fu already.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then I get that then.
Yeah, like it was, again, it was paper thin, but still, they did get like a sentence to why Fu came back.
Yeah.
They were homies.
I honestly did forget that because everything else that followed was even more. Why is this happening? What's going on?
Yeah.
They can do
Yeah. Yeah. Go watch No More Heroes, everybody.
Yeah, it's absolutely wild. It's a blast.
You get to fight a crossbow.
Oh yeah, and there's a lady called Green River.
Yep,
or something.
Or Miori Midoriya.
No, it was like yeah. Midorigawa Midori.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
I'm sorry with that name.
She was absolutely awesome. Like one of my most favorite characters out of the game. But anyway, the group that John Leguizamo has, they're all named after like Christmas things. So there's a dude called Gingerbread. There's a Frosty. What else did they have? I'm going back through the list. Oh, his John Leguizamo's name in here was Screw. Yeah. So I like. Go ahead.
Yeah, he was strange. Like, because they all had code names based around, like, different characters or items of Christmas.
Yeah, because Candy Cane is an item of Christmas, and Frosting is the character of Frosted Snowman.
Of course. And yeah, so we got our players. You know, mm-hmm. This little hit squad, they want their money that's in the basement, allegedly. And Santa, who's on his doing his duties, you know, he gets stranded at this house, which just so happened to have this family who is in need of a hero.
Okay, but before we get to that, I would like to say that all the time that we're finding out that the family is getting is being taken upon by this group, Santa's flying around drunk, throwing up and pissing everywhere.
Yes.
Just to give you an idea of what Santa's going through before this happened.
Right. So it, just imagine if Bad Santa could fight. Which he could, he knows how to throw hands.
I never saw that. But. I totally understand that sentiment.
I mean, but you know what a bad Santa, you know what kind of character that is. That's the part like, that you need to know. Like, it's bad Santa, except he can throw hands.
Right.
So imagine that.
And character. If the reason why he can throw hands.
Yeah. So, from this point going forward, we are just going to talk spoilers. So, you know, you got a lot of preamble. So if you haven't seen Violent Night, go check out for it.
Absolutely. Like, everything before this point in the movie where Santa is awakened by gunfire is just preamble. Doesn't actually matter. Then the rest of the story happens. And the rest of the story, my God.
Yeah, so like I was saying beforehand, Santa gets stranded at the rich guy, people's house. Because again, at this point, the rich family is hostages. You know, they're still, I love how they're all just still being themselves. Like, yeah, they have a gun pointed in their face, but everyone's just like, okay, you just want our money, fine, we're hostages, but we're still going to be a little bit douchey. So,
you know what? Okay, so the son, Bert.
Yeah.
Named after his grandmother, so his name is Bertrude.
Yep.
He's like a TikToker or some wannabe influencer or something like that. He's going around being highly annoying, and this is while all these this hit squad is there, and he's trying to get the hit squad to do something for him, and yeah, one of the guys just punches him, or yeah. Did he smack him? I can't remember which one it was. I wanted someone to punch him in the face, like when he was going through that scene, and it happened. Thank you, movie. Thank you for satisfying me.
Yeah, like it's. I mean, that kid was gonna get hit regardless. Like he is such like the young rich, I can do whatever I want character.
Yeah,
the kid just want to punch that you hope gets punched, because it's so satisfying to see that kid get punched in the face.
Yeah, I mean, you've watched Game of Thrones now. I don't remember how far you are through it. I don't think you finished the series, but
no, I haven't not finished the series.
Okay,
but
he on that level of not that level of Joffrey, but in that genre.
Oh, I've seen Joffrey die.
Yeah. Oh, so you finally saw it?
Yeah, I it was a great day for everyone except Cersei.
Well, I mean, who cares? It was a great day for everybody else.
I mean, I like the Lannisters. So, I kind of care, but also at the same time, too, with Cersei.
Yeah, you know what? Let's save that for a Game of Thrones podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's going to happen. That's definitely going to happen. Yeah.
Oh.
But then House of the Dragon comes out this upcoming summer, so. Yeah, but anyway, back to Violent Night. But yeah, so. So everything is set up, right? So Santa Claus, he's stranded, you know, he doesn't remember the meaning of Christmas no more, you know, but this little girl who has hope, she believes in Santa Claus, and she got her walkie-talkie, finds out, oh no, Santa's real, da-da-da-da-da. Now we're gonna go ahead and have a night, but nah, Santa's not ready yet. He needs to get in the mood. He needs a warm up. He needs to knock some heads off.
You know, he's got to knock the dust off, knock the rust off it, essentially. And he does that by accidentally getting captured, or not captured, but runs into one of the hit squad.
Yeah.
And he stands to bumble around and trying to not fight when he knows that he can, and you don't know that he can. Oh, it's fun. It's so fun.
Exactly. And it's like when he fights, so I do want to talk about like the way he fights real quick. It's the way it starts off, because I you know, he was still drunk, right? He is like bumbling, just idiot fight. You know, I think even the first guy he fought, like in that fight, the kill was more of an accident, I felt like.
It was an entire accidental happening. Like,
yeah.
When the dude saw me, it was like, wait, what? You're somebody who we didn't know was supposed to be here. So he was thrown off. And then Santa was trying to be like, yo, let me just leave. Y'all can keep doing what you're doing. I don't care. I just want to get out of here.
Right.
And yeah, bumbled through it that way. Also, man. Was that the fight where he was using his bag?
You mean the where he's taking out the weapons?
The sack of just throwing, like, taking presents out and throwing them at the guy. I think he was doing it. It was one of the first two fights, I believe.
Yeah, so he did. So the fight I'm thinking of is the one where he was getting his ass kicked a little bit by the guy, like, I believe he was in the basement or whatnot. Yeah, he literally had to use a bag of just pool balls to beat him.
Yeah, that wasn't the one, but that was the second fight.
Yeah.
The first fight that he was in, I think he was using the Santa sack and was throwing presents at the guy to just try to distract him and get him away. And the guy is just, like, you know, throwing some punches at Santa. Santa throws up. Well, he grabs the guy grabs a knife and is just now trying to stab Santa. Santa's, like, moving out the way and everything. And as the guy is going for Santa's body, he lifts his bag up and the guy's hand just goes into the bag. And it was one of the dopest things that I've seen. Like, in the middle of a fight, you thought, oh yeah, I'm going to use this bag to just, like, redirect this attack. So now I can get out of the way and go about my day.
Yeah, exactly. And that's another thing I'm going to bring up later. Yeah, that's another thing I'm going to bring up later is the fact that they use the powers in creative ways.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool because everything you know about Santa, I believe they use that as a part of the action scenes, right? You know,
I believe they did.
Yeah, and like a lot of the lore that we know of Santa is present in this movie. So, and we can go ahead and hop into this part too. As the movie goes on, you know, Santa starts to find his resolve because, of course, him and the little girl are talking. Like I said, she's the Otacon in this situation. And Santa starts to talk. And the little girl keeps asking him questions like, okay, why are you like this? You know, what's going on, Santa? And, like, Santa just tells her about his past. And starts to get deeper into that, because at this point, the little girl is, Trudy, is Santa's muse at this point. So we come to find out that way back in the day, Santa was Ikey, essentially. And that he had a hammer called Skull Crusher, which he was under the hammer. Yeah. And he himself was a very naughty boy.
I believe he would have been at the top of the naughty list.
He would have been. He definitely would have been. Especially if you saw the scene where in his Viking days he was literally covered in blood with his hammer.
Yep.
So,
like, it was kind of an impressive scene too. Like, when you see it, it's just like, oh, that's him? That's when, okay, so he was a Viking.
Yeah.
He was quick. He must have done terrible.
Yeah, and he says that, like, I did terrible things. Now, how we go from point A to point B, from him being a Viking to Santa, no, we don't get an explanation of that. Personally, I don't need one.
It's magic, blah, blah, blah. He doesn't understand how it works.
Yeah, we don't know. Hell, even Santa keeps saying, he said it several times in the movie, like, I don't fully know how this power works. So,
yep.
Which for me just leaves it open-ended to just, he could get more powers and use his powers in other ways. So I'm cool with that.
Right.
So, like, if we do get an origin story where his powers come from, that would be pretty dope if they do something creative with it.
That would be an interesting way to have, like, Santa Claus too, and just go through his origin story.
Yeah.
See what made him want to become Santa in the first place. I'm sure he got tired of killing at a certain point, as most killers do.
When he does get captured, you know, when he does get tied up, the bad guys, you know, they're using their various aliases and say, oh, Santa Claus, you're not Santa Claus. Then he just starts to give their actual names and go into their past.
Yeah.
Hey, you wanted a bike when you were younger. Not that too. That
yeah.
And let you do this, you know?
Hey, Jim, you're still angry about me not giving you this in this year? You did X, Y, and Z. That's why you didn't get it, and you know that. So, what's going on?
But yeah, no, they were going into like each one of their past, and you know, like I said, Jimmy likes just getting a little angry, you know.
Exactly. Jim, like, he would say to someone who, let's say he was talking to Frosty, or I think her name was Sugar Plum, and he was like, hey, you, Katie, you did blah, blah, blah. Her name wasn't actually Katie, I don't think, but he went into all of that explaining exactly what they did at a point in time when nobody in that room would have known this person.
Yep.
So he was just proving, yo, I'm the real Santa, and you all are just not doing the right thing. You should listen to me right now. No one has ever listened to him throughout that movie, except the little girl.
Yeah.
Oh, and then her family after. Proxy.
Yeah, and thing is that, like, they, I mean, of course, you know, no one believes in Santa in this movie, right? So when you do see a Santa, you're thinking like he's just some guy stuff as Santa Claus and he's crazy, but now come to find out he's actually knows how to fight and he has real magic.
And, well, I mean, that doesn't deny his sanity. Like, he still might be crazy, but you find out that yes, he is the real deal and he is not to be messed with. And he is honestly trying to not hurt me throughout all of this.
Yeah, he was only trying for so long.
That's because they wouldn't take no, like, hey, let's talk this out. Let's stop doing this. No. We're going to go after you and okay, now you're forcing me to do this.
Right. So
that's what it really.
Yeah, it's like, always say, I don't want to do this for so long. It's you're like, oh, y'all want to fight? You can fight. You just know you asked for this.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's my point. They asked for it. They brought it all to him. And he finished it.
That he did. That he definitely did. What's so cool about that is the fact that, like, he just goes ham, really. Hell, even like even Trudy gets in on the action because guess we just watched Home Alone the night before, and guess who's about to get Home Alone.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so the Home Alone scene was very funny,
yeah,
and very very brutal. Like, these are things that people our age had probably thought about immediately after watching Home Alone, and was just like, nah, we probably shouldn't do that. I mean, some people probably did try to do some of that stuff, but I don't know how if it got into the news or not. I didn't look into that.
Yeah, like, it's, I'm sure, like, there was people who tried to do that in real life, like, because Home Alone is, those first two movies are amazing. And going back to Violent Night real quick, you know what it is immediately. Like, once you see the two bad guys, they find like the attic stairs and you see all the traps set up, it's like, okay, this is gonna be a Home Alone sequence. You already know. And it's a Home Alone sequence. And it's a Home Alone sequence where, oh, we're actually gonna see blood and I can see these guys die. Like, they're gonna die. Because if you get hit in the face with a bowling ball and get stabbed with a bunch of nails, you're gonna die.
Absolutely. And also, the glue trap that she set up, followed by the ornaments just haphazardly thrown everywhere, to stop someone and to, like, set them up for another trap, like, I was watching it with my mom and I was telling her, like, how did they not figure that there's another trap? There's an obvious trap right here. Who thinks a kid, like, if you're thinking a kid is that dumb, after you knowing Home Alone exists, no. Why are you going to go up some stairs that are obviously cut in half? Look for other things.
Well, no, they didn't know. He didn't know. He didn't see that. That's how he got messed up.
Oh, no, because he saw the first one and then was like, oh, this is a trap, and then tried to go around it and got hit with another trap that was more well hidden.
Oh, no, he didn't. He didn't. Because the only thing he saw the nails on the floor and he saw the nail on the one of the steps. He didn't see the step that was actually cut, sawed in half. That's where he fucked up at.
Oh, okay.
And like, that's how he got his head stuck on that nail.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't, because they both underestimated the kid. Again, like in
Like most of us. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, that's how he got caught up. And that's how he never made it up to the attic. Because every time he tried to get up and recover himself, it was another trap that was waiting for him. Or even he got hit with the bowling ball and just finally just died.
Or okay, like, so he got hit with the bowling ball.
Yeah. It was the nail that did him in.
Yeah. Really bad way to say this, but the last nail in the coffin. That's what it was.
Yeah. So.
And him not paying attention after getting hit with bowling balls once and having a nail driven through his chin, that's all his fault. That's all I can say on that.
Yeah, like it was his fault, but again, we have two bad guys who underestimated a child, because old girl didn't have a pleasant time either.
I think she might have gotten, I want to say she got the worst of it, but no, she didn't die. So yeah, there's that for her. She did get like her hair ripped out because of the glue trap on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, all the shards of the ornaments, and there was something else that happened to her.
Yeah, like she also got, you know, beat up by Santa.
Oh, right. That happened. Santa did beat her up.
Yeah.
She was a naughty girl. So.
That she was. Yeah, she was a naughty girl since she was the kid, come to find out. So she was definitely that naughty list.
I know.
But yeah, so I do want to talk about like one more fight scene.
Okay. Most of this movie was just fight scene, fight scene, fight scene, fight scene. A little bit of story. Fight scene, fight scene, fight scene, fight scene. Some arguments with the family. Fight scene, fight scene.
Yeah, because I mean, that's why you're here for, right? Like, I mean, oh, there is one we did forget to mention, which was the fight scene with the hit squad in the warehouse. And not the warehouse, but like it was like in there. It was like a shed or something. That's what he finds. Not Skull Crusher, but something that's down, I'd say. But he gets a sledgehammer, which reminds him of Skull Crusher. And yeah, he crushes some skulls.
And legs. And arms. Probably some rib cages.
And he splits
it all up. Oh, yeah. Definitely did. Some explosions that happened to them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, putting the grenade in that guy's pants and walking away. And my favorite line, like, bro, I got him.
No, he didn't walk away. He kind of tried to run away, but because of the snow, looked more like a waddle. And then he was like, nah, I got to watch.
Yeah, like, he's like, bro, you gotta watch this. You got to watch a guy explode. And it was a satisfying explosion.
Very much so. I think that was a very good thing that Santa did by shoving that grenade down his pants.
Yeah. So it was very, very satisfying. And then yeah, like of course, the final fight, you know, with John Leguizamo and Santa. You know,
well, oh yeah,
that was a good fight. Great fight. I love the way that ended. That, like, that was a fatality, the way that ended.
Yeah. It probably would be one of the seasonal fatalities.
Oh no, have you seen the seasonal fatality from Mortal Kombat 1?
I did see. That's why I said this is probably going to be a seasonal fatality.
I think this is one like they would give Santa if he was in Mortal Kombat.
Oh, absolutely. Or, you know what? I think if they were going to put Santa in it, they would have to use this Santa.
Yeah.
And there's another fatality that was in the in that fight that you were talking about, the one in the garage where he gets the sledgehammer.
Oh, yeah.
It involves a wood chipper.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and it wasn't just one dude. It was what, two or three dudes that he just kind of like had lined up and just went through a wood chipper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did.
I think that's what you would in Mortal Kombat was just like have that set up.
I mean, if there's a wood chipper anywhere, it's gonna be used in a movie like this, in horror movies and action movies. It's gonna be utilized. Like, what are you telling me? You have a wood chipper in this movie and no one died via wood chipper? Like,
that,
what is
yeah. Talking? There was some other comedy horror movie that I saw. It had Alan Tudyk in it, and he was like a country boy that was like trying to help these kids, but they kept doing stupid stuff and getting themselves killed because they were running from someone who was actually trying to kill them or something like that. And I don't remember the name of it, but there was a wood chipper, and his character was trying to warn the kid, don't go over there because there's a wood chipper. Get away from there. These kids were like, no, we're not going to listen to this crazy guy. And then they go over towards the wood chipper, get into some stuff. Like, I think one of them tripped into it and knocked something out. A whole Rube Goldberg sort of event happened. And yeah, both of them fall into the wood chipper, and the guy is just like, I tried to warn them.
he definitely tried.
Yeah. I don't remember what it is, but if anyone out there knows, let us know in the comments.
But yeah, so I guess we could talk about like our overall thoughts about the movie. Like I thought the movie was fun. Definitely, like, I would add this to my list of movies to watch around Christmas time, because it does have like the traditional Christmas tropes. Of course it does. And they play with it a lot. Like I was saying earlier, the powers that Santa have, he doesn't fully understand them, but he does use them to creatively take out his opponents.
Right. Like shaving down a candy cane into a shit.
Yeah. And that's another thing too, is that like he uses Christmas decorations to take down his opponents as well. So it's very Christmas related. So all this happy stuff like that she associated with Christmas is being used to kill off and defend this family. Hell, there's even the fighting scene that was in the shed, right? I don't know what Christmas song is playing, but you know, it's a Christmas song you would hear like in a mall. You would hear it at a party, Christmas party, things like that. So and it's a
I honestly tuned out all the music in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, that was a mistake, because it went very well. It went very well with everything.
Like,
like, the fact...
Now that you bring it up, like, I'm thinking back, and I cannot remember a single song that was in the movie.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, the main one I think I'm thinking of, and again, I don't know the name of it. If you know, put that down in the comments. It was, again, during the shed scene. And again, it's a Christmas song, happy-go-lucky Christmas song, and people are dying while it's playing.
Was it Jingle Bell Rock? Because that would have been funny.
I mean, come on, everyone uses Jingle Bell Rock.
Yeah, but during that scene, I think that would have been funny. It still would have been cliche, but what is a Christmas movie without tons of cliches?
It makes it a pretty interesting Christmas movie.
When was the last time we had one of those?
We've had those. If I pull up Christmas movies right now, we've had quite a few, actually. Christmas movies have lucky things. Huh?
A Christmas movie that doesn't follow the formula?
Yeah, they've been busting, bro. Like Hawkeye. Do I need to mention Hawkeye?
Okay, Hawkeye.
I mean, that's a show.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a show, but it has the budget of a movie.
True. Definitely.
Spirited, one of my favorite Christmas movies in the last few years, was actually like that wasn't generic, and I actually had a creative twist to it.
Interesting.
I felt like, yeah, like I love Spirited. Too bad it's on Apple TV. And I haven't seen Candy Cane Lane, but because that's a newer one, but I've heard some good things about that too. So yeah, no, Christmas movies have been doing well lately.
Every time that I see a newer Christmas movie, it always has the same tropes. So I just don't see those interesting twists.
That means you're watching the wrong Christmas movies. You're probably watching the ones that a lot of normies watch, like the romantic comedy one.
More than likely.
Yeah, I tend to watch like the violent ones and the horror ones, like Krampus, for example.
Oh, I heard Krampus was a good one.
Yeah. Or there's one I had my eye on, the mean one.
Oh, yeah, I hadn't even heard of that.
Yeah, like, it's, I mean, if you know the mean one, you know, like, who we refer to as the mean one.
Yeah. I think I know what you're talking about.
Exactly. But all in all, Christmas movies have definitely been doing pretty well lately.
Okay. Well, I mean, definitely better than, I want to say previous years then, because I am so tired of all these Christmas movies.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think, like, you have to go outside of the romantic comedies, because romantic comedies, like Christmas romantic comedies, family ones, yeah, you're right, they're gonna follow all the tropes, but
everything,
if you're watching a romantic comedy, that's why you're there. You're there to see those tropes, you know.
True.
So
very true. But yeah, overall, what I thought of it was, you know, not a bad movie, very entertaining. I'd watch it again, just for like,
yeah,
laughs or whatever, just to have it on in the background. And
it's just a great movie to have, like, especially in front of friends. Oh, no, your friends will love it.
I can see that this movie being played at like a Christmas party with a group of friends, and they're just sitting around drinking, smoking, watching the movie.
Exactly. You know, drinking your eggnog, your spiked eggnog, and having you know what I'm saying? Exactly. Which, good news for this movie. For one, it did very well at the box office.
Awesome.
Movie was 20 million. Yeah, movie was 20 million box office at the end of its run. It made 76.6 million. So definitely doubled the budget. And yeah, a sequel is in development. So stay tuned.
Okay. I wonder if we get to meet Mrs. Claus in this one.
More than likely, because they did hint at her.
Oh, they did not her so, both time. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So. But yeah, no, that's all I got to say about. Say that again.
We get to see the elves too. See what they actually look like in this time or this storyline.
Exactly. So we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully, we do see those soon and see what other shenanigans Santa can get into.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't know about you, but that's all I have to say.
Yeah, I'm kind of done with the milk and cookies for today. So, go.
Yeah. But yeah, guys, thanks for putting on our podcast. And, you know, please like, rate, subscribe. Yep, the Night Shift Band is on everything. You know, Thomas said it at the beginning of this podcast. So hit us up, check us out. And we're punching out so you can punch in, guys.
Yeah.
So with that being said,
we're punching out.
Y'all have a good one. Say that again, Thomas.
We're punching out that clock.
Yep, so you can punch in. So, all right. Y'all have a good one. Take care. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Bye-bye.
Yeah, what he said.